It's a Sunday morning. It's a very good morning to you and welcome to the show. This is Weekend Early Breakfast with me, Zane Johnson, until 6 o'clock this morning. And I thought this morning, having a chat about a number of things, and when I chatted to Taryn during the course of the week, Taryn was saying to me, Lady Gaga and A Star Is Born. I said, no. That film has been redone. And it was, I think the first version I saw was when I was still dating my ex-wife, which was probably like something like 42 years ago. So animation movies have been with us for a very, very long time. But many of these animation movies are totally timeless. And you ask yourself the question, why would somebody want to sort of do a live remake of The Lion King or The Jungle Book or Aladdin? And the animation movies, you can watch them time and time again, and wherever they are, they would still actually hold water. So think about The Lion King, The Jungle Book, Aladdin, Mulan, Cinderella, and animation movies like Moana. Some people say there's too much music and they fall asleep in it. But all great movies that are sort of receiving a live-action remake or have already received them. And you look at Tarzan, for instance, there's a lot of that around. And let me tell you that these remakes don't really cut it for me. I feel that the live remakes are just not the sort of, good version of the animated movie. So nobody asked for them. And, they don't do as well as the box office and by the critics. So, why do we have a new one coming out every single year? Somebody who could possibly change my mind, and we're chatting to him all the way from Australia, is Eddie Ivermee, and he's a film reviewer at jordanandeddie.com, and he'll provide us a sort of more balanced view of this particular issue and give us a very fair opinion, and maybe, Eddie can change my mind. Eddie, a very good morning to you, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning, Zane. Thanks for having me from all across the other side of the world. It's a pleasure to be here.
I think you guys are going to give us quite a beating at the cricket, but we'll have to see about that one.
Eddie, you never know, mate. We didn't bring any sandpaper with us this time, so I don't know if we'll be winning any games.
Yeah, no. Listen, Eddie, what is up with this fascination about taking, animated movies and turning them into live-action remake?
Oh, look, at the end of the day, Zane, the very simple fact is it's a very easy money for the studios, I believe, is certainly the driver there. You've got a renowned property that people know. You just think, you mentioned very early on there about the new Lion King remake that's coming our way soon. I know so many people that are really looking forward to that, and they know that it's going to be very much a shot-by-shot remake of the beloved animated film, but they still want to see it, and they want to take their kids, or maybe couples want to go together, older people want to go. It's because they know and they trust the property, and I think it's just an easy win for studios, but particularly Disney. I mean, Disney have an extreme fascination at present time with remaking a lot of their properties. And again, I think it comes down to, do we risk a new venture, or do we go back to something that's tried and tested?
Yeah, the thing is actually, when you've had something in its original form and you start trying to remake something out of its original form into a live version of whatever it is. I mean, Aladdin, for instance, could do well as a live remake, as the animated movie. And certain of these things work and certain of them actually don't work. Are they better than the OGs?
Well, that's the thing. I don't believe I've seen, when we're talking about animated films from the Disney catalogue or these old classics that are really still hold up very well today, I personally don't believe I've seen a live-action remake that's better than the original. So the question must be asked about, what's the point? And again, other than the fact that some have made a little bit of money, that certainly not any that, from my memory, have ever really done better review-wise, or people don't come up to me and say, oh, how much better was this new Aladdin than the old animated film? It's a very rare occurrence if that were to happen. So you must wonder if just remaking something almost shot by shot is worth it. I think the best remakes are those that mess with the formula a little bit and give you something, maybe a new version of a story that you know very well. And that doesn't happen very often because the studios are just too afraid to risk that. Yeah. And it's a shame that they are so set on just remaking it in a safe way.
chatting this morning to Eddie Ivermeer, and he's a film reviewer at jordanandeddie.com, and you can find his blog on jordanandeddie.com, and we're chatting to him all the way from Australia. Now, you know, as kids, we were sort of exposed to the originals, because I come out of an era of originals. I just feel that these days, everything they look back, whether it's films, whether it is theatre stuff, or whether it's actually in terms of music, everything just actually gets to be remade. Should parents expose their children to the originals and see what their reaction is of the originals instead of, you know, first feeding them the remake stories?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, particularly, again, talking about the Disney films, we go way back to the 40s, 50s and upwards from there, and these films still hold up really well today. Of course, they're perhaps not as eye-capturing as they are now with CGI and all the animation that we have, but you look at these hand-drawn films and they're lovingly crafted. You know, they took months and months to make and use some of the best artists in the world at the time, and at the core of it all, the best thing about them is their stories and characters, and those are ageless and timeless. And these type of films very much, I think, still hold up today. And no matter the age of children or what they're exposed to with all these great, fantastical computer animated imagery and these things that come to life before their eyes, the old films, a lot of the classics that we do talk about, that they are, you know, they're very ageless. At the end of the day, yes, sometimes they seem a little bit dated, but I don't believe that anyone would say that any of the classic Disney films, you know, you can't watch them today, because you can put them on at any time of the year, any time of the day. And I believe they're also very much ageless in a sense of their demographic, you know. Old people love them, middle-aged people love them, kids certainly love them. And that's so rare for films. And we do sadly live in a time where original properties are becoming rarer, and perhaps studios aren't willing to take that financial risk, which is a shame, because so many of the best films ever made were risks at the time, and they paid off massively.
Isn't it basically a fact that people think that, you know what, the original film made it? Let's take, for instance, A Star is Born. I think the original was with Barbara Streisand, and I thought that the only remake was the recent one by Lady Gaga, but you tell me that this is actually probably the fourth remake of that film. And so many other films that have actually been remade. What does it take away from the sort of original and bringing? Are they trying to bring the same message into the current and contemporary situation?
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing. Like, take a Star is Born as example. You obviously the Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson version from the 70s was very much of its time and place, and the Bradley Cooper Lady Gaga kind of tackles that. I would say the social media type imagery, you know, people can become stars overnight all of a sudden in today's climate with YouTube and the way kind of music is very much a lot of one-hit wonders and people that are struggling to remain relevant. So it does take that core message of, you know, someone achieving their dreams but adds that modern flavour. So something like A Star is Born, to me, that was a good remake, you know. It might not be better than the originals. There's probably arguments to be made there, but at least it added a little bit of a fresh take on that tale, adding in that whole kind of, again, the social media kind of crazy world that we live in now, where things just can go viral in a few minutes, and all of a sudden someone's gone from a nobody to a star. And that was an interesting take on that, I believe. And at least it added a little bit of a fresh flavour to a otherwise pretty generic, you know, love story at the end of the day. We've seen that story done a lot of times before.
And you know, the thing is actually is that let's not shoot down the remakes. And I think you got me slowly convinced here that maybe a remake of certain things is actually a good idea, and bringing it into a contemporary space is an even better idea to show exactly how, you know, the things that were sort of, you know, the essentials at that time, bringing them into nowadays with social media and with Twitter and with Instagram and with blogging and all of those things, and bringing all of that together. What makes a successful remake?
I think it is that, Zane. You have to really add something new to it. That to me would be the success. I believe that people are cluey enough to know when they're just getting a very carbon copy of something that's come before. Maybe sometimes there's a film that's remade that perhaps wasn't as popular, or maybe has died out of popular culture a little bit, and they can almost very much just go, yep, let's just do the same thing but on a different scale. and people will accept that. But for a remake to be really successful, I do believe you need to add something fresh to it, add something new, whether it's a risky casting choice or some new material that you don't expect. They're the ones that you know, a bit of a different take on the story, whether it's even 10, 20% change, you do need that. And sometimes I believe remakes are almost a little bit too safe and you do come out of it going, you know, what was the point? I could have watched the original at home and it was just as good. So we are demanding as an audience now and studios to make a remake successful do really need to add something to it. You know, let's give us something we haven't seen before or surprise us in a way we didn't expect.
Yeah, I think I grew up in a very great era where filmmakers could actually think and scriptwriters could actually think up a story instead of just grabbing, you know, the latest success from 50 years ago and then remaking it. We're having a chat this morning to Eddie Ivermeer, and he's a film reviewer, and his blog is on jordanandeddie.com, and you can find all the details at jordanandeddie.com. What were some of the worst failures in terms of remakes?
Oh, look, there has been a few, hasn't there? But I would have to say you go back to films like, I really didn't like the Jungle Book remake. I thought that was actually taking what made the animated film really good and it almost overextended it. You see, the film originally from Disney was about, I think, 80 minutes long. It was quite a short film. And then your remake, we had a few 2 hours. So you are adding material to the film, but it actually diluted the really fun, easygoing message of that original film, and I thought it lost a lot of magic. Even though it did really well at the box office, I just thought, yeah, you know what? I'll much prefer the original to that. And even more recently, I think I recently saw the new Godzilla film, King of Monsters, and there was a Godzilla film from 2014. They were taking some beloved properties from the 50s and 60s, and they made it really serious, you know. Back in the day, they were really fun, over-the-top monster mashes, and then this one became a really serious film with, a lot of extra human characters that we didn't perhaps need in a Godzilla film. So they're some of the ones of recent memory that I thought maybe just didn't hit the mark.
Let's chat about the movie remake culture, and I hear some crazy thoughts like a reboot of the Fast and Furious series, and how about a remake of the Marvel series?
Yeah, well, I mean, you never know what could happen with Marvel now that we've entered that kind of end phase of the Infinity Saga, 22 films in, and I'll be very interested to see what they do there. We saw, over the period of 15 years, we saw three different reimaginings of the Spider-Man series, which Marvel obviously were a part of, you know, the early 2000s with Tobey Maguire. Then we moved forward later on into the 2000s with Andrew Garfield, and then we moved on to the Tom Holland series, which is still continuing today. And yeah, that was pretty extensive to have all of a sudden three different versions of the same story over such a short period of time. And, that's such an interesting case that they would feel as though we needed three completely separate takes on that story, which we all know and love, but maybe wasn't really needed to do that many. And the Andrew Garfield series in between was relatively forgotten about now all of a sudden.
Yeah. And even TV's going into remakes, because I was actually watching a sort of a spoof on, you know, MasterChef, and it was called something about $1 million menu or something like that. With TV watching and with movie watching itself, because I mean, the whole industry has changed, you know. It is difficult these days for cinemas to survive unless they have a good offering, and they're offering, you know, certain things like a movie membership for the year or something like that. So movie watching has changed, because we've got Netflix, we've got Showmax, you've got so many international platforms where you can actually just on demand watch a particular movie. So has that demand sort of linked on and latched on to the fact that people now need to supply that demand, and are we seeing the remakes because of that?
Yeah, look, we're in a time and place, aren't we, where there's so much content, and I think the more and more content that gets provided for people, we are going to see more remakes and reimaginings, because, again, it's a lot easier for studios to just grab a hold of something old and proven before, or maybe something that had potential but was never met, and they just latch onto that and move that forward a little bit. And you just look at the amount of things coming through some of those streaming services now, and it's just, it's crazy, really. There's not enough time in the week or in the year to even partake in half of it. And I believe that demand is very strong, and even nowadays in Australia, it's probably the same everywhere. But, you know, most weeks there's maybe four, five, even six films opening at the cinema on a Thursday when they open here. And, you know, again, it's very hard to compete, isn't it? So a well-known property or something that someone associates some knowledge with already, it's a lot easier for studios to justify that, I guess, that property and not have to spend as much time and money to get people to know what it is.
That's Eddie Ivermee chatting to me this morning, and he's a film reviewer at jordanandeddie.com. Eddie, thanks so much for your insights, and we're going to be following your blog from here on and see what the latest remakes are. And we'll chat to you again about movies sometime soon.
Oh, thanks, Ed. Appreciate it. And thanks for the opportunity. And not all remakes are bad, but, you know, let's be a little bit more picky. And I think we can show the studios out there in Hollywood that perhaps we do demand a little bit more. It's important that we don't lose the original property that is so important to the creative space.
Mm. That's Eddie Ivermee chatting to us, and he's a film reviewer at jordanandeddie.com.